Okay, are we going? We're good to go. Right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council Planning Committee. My name is Brendan McKeown, and I will be chairing this meeting. The points, if you haven't already switched off your mobile phone, could you do that, please, or switch it to silent? Can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery? If there is any disruption, you may be asked to leave the meeting, but you don't look like people who will disrupt the meeting, so it should be okay. On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I have officers from the Law and Governance Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes, and I will indicate when they have used up two of them. Ward members, if they wish to speak, are entitled to speak for up to 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity as that enjoyed by our colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. So we move on to the agenda proper. We have four lots of minutes from four previous planning meetings, dated 10th of June, 23rd of June, 25th of June, and the something of July, 3rd of July. Am I okay to sign those afterwards? Yeah.
No, I did send my apologies in for the 25th.
Sorry.
I sent my apologies in for the 25th.
The 25th.
I don't think they were recorded. I did it by replying to the invitation.
We can do that, can't we? Okay, we'll add your apologies in. Thank you. Right, declarations of members' interest and
apologies.
Have we got apologies? Sorry.
Councillor Sanderford.
Yes, that's it. Just one, Councillor Sanderford. That one. And members' interests or lobbying. Anyone?
Hello.
The video.
Yeah. I work for Severn Trent, but I have no bearing on any planning related issues with them. Also, I am the ward member for the second application, the Woods Eaves. I should be speaking on that matter, and in that case, I feel I am predetermined.
Okay, so you won't take part in the vote itself?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Chairman, Councillor Ajello as well.
Councillor Peter Ajello, have you got anything you wish to?
It's very, very simple, but I can't really speak on it because, in fact, I've got part and parcel of it. So
you think you're predetermined, do you?
Okay. The first application for the minutes. So you'll be taking a seat in the public gallery?
Sorry?
You'll be taking a seat in the public gallery for that one.
Land off Milford Road.
In the Milford Road?
Yes. That's your...
Yes, Milford Road is mine.
Calling by yourself. Okay. Councillor Roy James?
Third item, I'm the ward member, but I shan't be speaking as the ward member.
Okay, thank you.
It's through you, Chair, but you'll be taking part in the debate and the vote.
Any more? It's a lively start, isn't it? Okay, shall we delegated applications, details of delegated applications are circulated separately to members. And now we move on to page 3, planning application, first one, 25/41031/PRP. At this point, Councillor Peter Exeter, now you can move to your seat at the back. Thank you. This was called in by yourself. Right, who's going to take this one over here?
Okay.
Steve Owen. Yes, Alan. Alan, could you just go back for the moment?
Sorry.
Thank you.
Saving
us a bother
of calling.
Yeah, just too keen.
Okay, Steve. Thank you, Chair. This is planning application 25
41031 PIP, land off Milford Road, Walton on the Hill. Under this application, permission in principle is sought for 9 dwellings. The permission in principle consent route has 2 stages. The first permission in principle stage establishes whether a site is suitable in principle, and the second technical details consent stage is when the details of the proposed development are assessed, such as vehicle access and design. This application is the first permission in principle stage where the scope of consideration is limited to location, land use and the amount of development. The first slide shows the location plan, the extent of the site which is outlined in red. The site comprises an agricultural field within the parish of Birchwich. This slide is an aerial view, which is of the site still outlined in red. The site is set within a residential rural area. The Stafford settlement boundary ends across the road from the site. The site's position 12 metres outside of the boundary places it, in policy terms, within open countryside. This is the photo plan which shows the location of the following site photos. Number one is looking north towards Milford Road. Number two is looking south towards the site. Image three is again looking south towards the site from Milford Road. And then image four is looking southwest towards the site again from Milford Road. Plan one shows the application site outlined in red. Plan two shows a existing topographical plan of the site. And plan three shows an indicative site layout. For the reasons set out in the officer's report on planning balance, it is considered that the proposal's location, the use of land, and the amount of development is acceptable. I've got 2 verbal updates to give the committee. Since the report was published, the borough's 5-year housing land supply has reduced from 3.37 years to 1.95 years. This, however, doesn't have a material effect on the recommendation to approve. Another update, the officer's report recommends that the permission in principle is granted subject to Natural England raising no objections to the completed habitat regulations assessment. Since the report was published, Natural England have commented and they've raised no objections to the development, subject to mitigation to the Cannock Chase Special Area of Conservation being secured. The applicant has signed a Section 111 legal agreement and the standard contribution towards the Cannock Chase Special Area of Conservation has been received. It is therefore recommended that permission in principle is approved in line with the officer's report. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. We have 2 speakers on here, a objector, Councillor Alan Taylor from Barkswich Parish Council. You can come to the table now, please. And if you're ready, we'll let you know when you've used up 2 minutes.
Right, well, I'm Councillor Alan Taylor. I'm the Chairman of Barkswich Parish Council. I'm here to present the Parish Council's objection to this application. And we've got 8 points of objection to the scheme. The first of which is that the site is, as the officer has indicated, outside the residential development boundary for Stafford Town. Therefore, the proposal to put any development here is not policy compliant in terms with the current local plan. This is a point that was made in comments, internal comments at the Borough Council, by the forward planning manager. The second point is that the application site is close to the boundary of Cannock Chase National Landscape. If you look at the plan 3 up on the screen at the moment, the National Landscape boundary is hard to say, if there's a little chart where it says CSA Architects, the Calicchaeus National Landscape Boundary is approximately on a line level with that sort of little bar chart on the right-hand side. The application site is farmland. It's indistinguishable from land within the national landscape, so that visually there is no distinction between the two. The Parish Council consider the officer's report as misleading in emphasising that the site is not within the national landscape because of this consistency of landscape vision. The development would be visually intrusive and harmful to the setting of the national landscape, and therefore it would not be compliant with Stafford Borough Council approved local plans or national policies for the protection of the national landscape and its setting. Third point, the application site is not sustainable as alleged in the applicant's planning statement and the officer report. While it's on an A-class main road, there is no bus service after 6:15 on weekdays and no service at all on Sundays. As the crow flies, it is 1.4 kilometres to the nearest shops and medical facilities. There's no pedestrian footway adjacent to the site, nor any form of segregated cycleway.
1 minute, Alan.
Thank you. The proposed site access is close to the junction with School Lane. Correction to the officer's report here, not Northwood Lane, which of course is at Handchurch, right at the opposite end of the borough. This suggests that there's been a degree of cut and paste in the preparation of this report, which, in the view of the Parish Council, undermines some of its credibility. It's a busy junction, and there's a potential risk to highway safety through the conflict of vehicles accessing or exiting School Lane and those going to and from the application site. It will be worse at times when children are being delivered or collected from the Bright Horizons Children's Nursery at the bottom of School Lane. That's in the V with a tree sort of shown circled in the top left of the plan on site off screen.
Okay,
although not part of the current application.
Wrap it up, so you have your 3 minutes.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said I just had 1 minute.
No, you've used two and a bit.
Oh, so I beg your pardon.
But now you've used up three and a bit. So
right. Well, the final concern of the Parish Council is that the site is shown as site DER05 on the Borough Council's local plan Sheila allocations assessment. With a notional capacity of 158 dwellings. The Parish Council is concerned that if permission in principle is granted for this, it establishes the principle of development on this site as acceptable, and we fully expect in next to no time the developer will come forward with a proposal for a further 149 houses, which will be well outside the local plan allocation.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Right, sorry.
It's all right.
Time goes quickly.
It just doesn't.
You're in this hot seat.
Worse than Mastermind.
Yes.
So if you could go back to your chair there, then we have a supporter, Mr. Richard Hazard. So you also have 3 minutes and you realise how quickly it goes now.
I did realise that. Good evening to you all. My name's Richard Hazard and I am the applicant in this case. Firstly, I would like to thank the planning officer for producing an excellent report, and I fully concur with the content and the recommendation. The country is in the midst of a severe housing crisis, and significant changes to the national planning policy introduced by the government means that Stafford Borough Council cannot demonstrate a five-year housing land supply. With this in mind, there is a presumption in favour of development in respect of planning applications for housing. I consider the application site is an extremely suitable location for a small-scale housing scheme and comprises sustainable development. As we've been told, this application is located outside the designated national landscape. This is a modest permission in principle application for up to only 9 dwellings. It falls below the threshold of major development and as such is considered to be entirely appropriate to the location. It's a very logical and sustainable site, and follows an established pattern of development to provide family housing. So where there is a significant housing need, the tilted balance applies and the application should be approved on that basis. And the planning officer has fully acknowledged this in his report. I therefore respectfully request that you approve this application as set out. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much, thank you. Councillor Peter Edgler, do you wish to speak as ward member?
Yes, if I may just speak to you once.
So, Councillor Angelo, you have 5 minutes, we'll let you know when you've got one to go.
Thank you very much indeed. I would in actual fact say, first of all, that when I first came across this particular principle on the land off Milford Road, it came to me in actual fact is the fact that it was just a single item, not the design, in fact, which we have now at the moment. And my original thoughts were, in fact, that to take it principle of one person having an accident in that area, because in actual fact, it is a very busy area, a very confined road system there, and just having an actual fact that it was just not feasible at all. So I did call it in, but it was without knowing all of what the further parameters were going to be and what was actually involved in it. So perhaps in future, where you have maybe a better system of getting all the information out to any ward members in the first instance, so that we're not in a situation where we only we're fully informed based on half the information. It can't be right. So now looking at the system that we've got it there in the moment, what we're now looking for is very encouraging. And so I like to withdraw my refusal at the initial point. Thank you.
Right, have we got any responses to that at all? Any of those comments? You mentioned about the land supply, the 5-year land supply now,
yeah.
Down to
1.95.
1.8.
Yes. So, on the main point about the application being outside the settlement boundary, it is in the open countryside. And it is contrary to our local plan, which doesn't, restrict development in the open countryside. But we don't have a 5-year land supply for housing, so the tilted balance applies from the MPPF, which, in effect, supports sustainable development and outlines that you can only refuse it so long as you have a strong reason for refusal, or the harm would outweigh, demonstratively, significantly outweigh any benefit. In this case, the application site is just 12 metres from the settlement boundary. Stafford is at the top of the settlement hierarchy, so it has the greatest ability to sustain development. It has transport links, it has services, it has employment land. So on that basis, given its proximity to the boundary, it is acceptable on balance. That addresses the.
Yeah, thank you. So we all understand now what PIB is, don't we? Permission in principle. And so there's fairly limited roads that we can go down in terms of what we have to say. So it's location.
It's location, the use of the land, and the amount of development is the scope of consideration.
Okay. Councillor Roy James?
Could you just go back to, I think it's plan 2. Harvey plan, no, plan one then. Okay, what's the blue line again?
Yeah, it's the applicant's ownership.
Right.
So the red edge is the site that the applicant presumably owns land to the south of that.
PIP, this is the first stage. So the second stage is when we look at the actual planning application as to what actually is going to go on that site.
Technical detail.
I've
got Andy McNaughton first.
Yeah, all I was going to say is I think it'd be very difficult to object to the planning in principle. But when it got to the technical side, I think I'd be a bit unhappy about that road junction. It was pretty close to the other road junction, so I thought you needed a roundabout. So, as I said, leave that there for when it comes back to the technical consideration.
Okay, Scott Spencer?
The red line boundary of ownership, obviously we've got an entrance there, and I presume highways have said that they would need additional information for like a visibility display and so forth, but if the applicant only owned what's shown in the red line boundary and highways, it looks as though, look at all the maps and so forth, that highways own the rest of that verge because the speed indicators, there's telegraph poles, all kinds of things in there, street furniture. How is the vision display going to be created?
So we discussed this in the chairman's briefing. And at the time, I thought that the visibility displays have to be within the red edge.
Mm-hmm.
If the visibility displays cross highway owned land, they don't need to be within the red edge. So he would need to indicate where the access was going to be,
mm-hmm.
but he wouldn't need to include the visibility displays within the red edge.
Right.
Right across.
Yeah, I have some concerns about this, not just the highways department, but there's also, there's no pavements involved on this stretch that links up with the rest of the pedestrian access. You look at plan two, there's 9 houses in there when in fact there's enough space to have double that. So are these going to be mansions that put in here? And there's a danger, I think, as expressed by the parish council, that's just the thin end of the wedge, and then the next will be an application for the whole field. So I do have concerns about this.
So in terms of the access details, that indicative plan seems to suggest that there'd be a footpath there, but I would say that the technical details would be at a later stage. So this plan is just indicative. So they'll have to explain the access details at a later stage. In terms of the amount of development on the site, this is a permission in principle. It can't be anything more than 10. Is that for 10? Can't be a major, so it can't be 10. So it has to be less than 10 under this consent.
Yeah, is this a way of getting around our regulations and rules on space in the houses?
Well, at the technical details stage, design would fall within that, and our standards in terms of space and separation distances would apply, and it would be a consideration. So they wouldn't be able to get around it at the next stage.
Councillor Andy McNaughton.
Thank you.
What I was going to say then is, could we argue that they're underutilising the land? Because if they only put 9 houses on it, like you say, it's got to be less than 10. So fact really, they could put more housing on it, and they're not utilising the land properly. So,
I mean, without taking your thunder, the PIP is 9 houses or less,
yeah,
and the side area hectare or less.
Yeah.
And I've got Dan Hobbs. Did you not? Yeah,
well,
sorry.
I mean, I think it's a shame. It's so close to Cannock Chase boundary. It's, you know, you wonder about the visual amenity and highway safety. I think those are the two things that are really concerning. And for the sake of 9 houses, but I suppose somebody wants to make a living, don't they? You know, it just seems a shame. I know that road. I've been to that nursery. And it's always a shame to see a field go, because once they're gone, they're gone.
Roy James?
Could I just ask the maths on this? That land, that site there, doing the maths, how many houses could go onto that site?
Well, the site is about it's just under a hectare, and they can only, under the PIP, they can only get 9.
The normal density is about 20,
right,
isn't it?
Under the PIP, but how many houses could you get on there on the, doing the maths?
So, if, and this is a complete theoretical answer, if a,
yes,
full,
theoretical,
if
yeah.
a full application was submitted, so there are no procedural limits in terms of the number of dwellings, the density would be considered in line with the density of the surrounding area. So, for example, if you've got an urban area of much higher density surroundings, in terms of design, a higher density is relevant, would be more acceptable. If you've got a sparsely populated area, an infill, then a more sparse development would be more likely to be acceptable. On the edges of urban areas, Stafford, Stone, etc., you're probably looking at around 30, 35 dwellings per hectare. But I don't know the density of the surrounding development to suggest whether that would be acceptable in this case. And I'd like to stress that that would need to be considered, any application in the future, on its own merits. And we are only looking here at location, land use, and the amount, which is 9.
So if we agree to this PRP, they cannot increase the number of houses on that site, is that correct?
Yeah.
Or can they come back with a subsequent planning application to put more houses on that site?
If prior approval was granted today, the applicant, or if it was refused, either way, the applicant would be within their rights to submit a planning application
right.
That wouldn't be limited to the PIP regulations.
Okay.
Scott Spencer?
Just quickly, so I'm clear. If it comes to, let's say, we approve this application, the applicant would then have to apply to Highways to request purchase of their land or at least some sort of right of access or something to allow the vision displays to take, to be able to be put in, presumably?
No, they wouldn't.
No.
In terms of submitting the planning application,
yeah.
They would just need to serve notice on any owners.
Yeah.
They wouldn't actually have to have ownership themselves during the consideration of the application.
Right, okay. My only concern, sorry, Chair, is the location of that site entrance, where it's put. If we're looking at purely the site as it is, if it's suitable or not, for me, looking at the accident data, which there's about 6 accidents right where that junction is put already on readily available information. There's also a speed indicator in that exact location, so obviously showing that speed is an issue on that road. So, for me, in its current form, where that site entrance is put, I think is not suitable land use or not suitable location. It should be moved. So, in its current guise, I don't think this is workable.
I need to stress that the site plan and that layout is indicative.
Mm.
So the consent wouldn't be for that plan. It would just be permission in principle for 9 dwellings.
So site access, you can basically have a rectangle in the middle of an island with no access to it, and you can still get plan it.
So the access is a technical detail.
Yeah.
The safety, the visibility, whether
right.
or not it's sufficient. Technical detail that would be considered at the second stage,
but isn't if it's sustainable is part of the PIP regulations, so you have to have access to it to be sustainable.
Well, in terms of fundamentally whether or not you could provide access to the site,
mm-hmm.
You could in principle provide access, but it's whether or not at the technical detail stage whether or not it would receive consent from the Highway Authority.
Right.
Andy first and then you, Roy. Thank you.
Well, I was going to say, to me, I think we could check on land utilisation because we're wasting land. If we go around taking chunks of land and just putting 9 houses everywhere, we end up with lots of pieces of land that have been used where we could have had a much less usage of land with more houses on each one. So I tend to think that we should come back with more houses on it and see if they can get that through. or we should use it.
Just on that point, the legislation allows up to a hectare and it allows up to 9. So in legislation terms, it is accepted that you can build 9 houses on a site of this size.
Lord James?
Yeah. I know this is an indicative plan. If you were to move the access to further to the east, are those trees going to be in the way?
It's likely that the trees, the trees are within that area.
Right.
But under the technical detail stage, you cannot amend the red edge. So the red edge which is before you is the red edge that the technical details consent would have to have.
So you're saying that that access is cast in stone then?
That is the red edge that they've drawn,
yeah.
And they have indicated that that is where the access would be provided.
Okay.
But again, you're not granting consent for the access, you're just granting consent for that red edge.
Okay.
And the idea of building 9 homes on it. Scott?
So just to follow up on that point, Councillor James says that. So when it goes to technical, if it was to go to technical details stage in highways and other different consultees would look at this, they'd look at this red edge specifically, no other red edge,
mm-hmm.
and any comments would be on that, and that, as Councillor James said, is relatively set in stone, this red edge as it currently is on this application.
The red edge, yes.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Peter Jones.
And just a question and clarification. So if we had a 5-year housing supply, we couldn't approve this application, could we?
You could, but the balance towards refusal would be stronger, because you'd have a local plan which is in date, policies which were up to date, and allocated land for housing. So the reason why this application on balance is acceptable in principle is because the borough doesn't have a 5-year housing land supply, and the MPPF says you apply the tilted balance towards approval in that situation, unless you have significant harms which outweigh the benefit of housing. But if you had a housing land supply, the tilted balance wouldn't apply.
So in my humble opinion, as a citizen, common sense has gone out the window. But I appreciate your opinion, thank you.
I suppose the more planning applications that we refuse for housing, we don't actually get into that 5-year land supply, do we? Just a comment. Anybody want to say anything more or make a proposal? You understand that it's permission in principle, it just falls within that criteria. And the technical issues are later. I know it's things that we don't like to do, but we need to get a proposal of some description. Andy McNaughton?
Well, I'm not sure we've got any choice, so I would propose that we accept it, but I'd like to put a bit of a corollary on it, in that I think it's just been that number of houses to fit the legislation rather than supply the housing need for Stafford or somebody else. Going to have another lump of land near them with 9 houses on, when they need to have 9 houses on, it could have been put there. So
what did you propose anything to?
Well, I suppose we have to accept it. I don't really want to
approve.
I think it's a waste of
as
land.
A pit.
I'd object on land utilisation, but as it's in the law, we can't really object to that, so we're going to have to put up with it.
That's definitely your proposal, is to approve that per the officer's report. Anyone minded to second that? No. Okay. Is there any counter proposal?
You're looking at me.
No. Okay. Well. Yes, sorry guys, it's up to you. to come up with something in order to get something moving. I will second your proposal to approve. And I'll put that.
So, concerns about density have arisen from a few of you. Again, this is a theoretical situation. If permission in principle was granted tonight and an application came through for the technical details consent, and for example, you had a scheme like this, and officers or members considered the density of that scheme to be unacceptable, there could be an amended scheme to ensure that 9 dwellings are in a smaller space within this site. They don't need to extend across the whole site.
Okay.
We are only looking at, as we said, land use, location and amount. So as those technical details can come through, the applicant could say, well, I'm only going to utilise half of that site for those 9. And that would mean the density may be more in line with the surrounding area.
Okay. James?
Can I just ask one more question? When they submit the technical specifications, etc., etc., will that come back to this committee, yes or no?
If it's called in.
If it's called in? Yeah. Right, okay, that's fine.
Okay, so proposed by Andy, seconded by myself, that we approve it as a PIP with all the restrictions that go with that. Can we take a vote on that? Right, okay, that's 2. Anyone against that? Is everyone abstaining then? Yeah, okay, we can't get anywhere.
George has been chairman.
Yeah, and so we need to drill down and get a decision somehow. So if any more questions to be asked, let's have them now. These are going to drive us nuts, these trips, you know. Yeah.
How many other applications are there for PIPs in this area?
I don't know the exact number. I mean, there's another one on the agenda, but I don't know the
I
number.
Meant for this specific area of Walton on the Hill.
This is the only PIP, I think.
I wouldn't know for certain without doing a search.
Besides, we have to deal with what's on the table tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We can't think about what might be coming in the future. Got no homes to go to.
I'll put a proposal to accept again.
There needs to be more debate than that.
Yes, okay, right, the recommendation from legals is we need to talk
okay.
more.
I believe that on planning balance, that with the 5-year land supply, that really our hands are tied. There's no real reasons that I can see for this to be turned down, or the red edge boundary is a concern. Technical detail stage, I think we'll obviously highlight that further. So I think, hopefully, sense will prevail with highways later on in this, but I think that currently I think we just need to accept it as it currently is.
Okay, so really we need a bit more input from your decision not to support it or to abstain from it. You probably need to tell us more about why you don't want to support it or you don't want to refuse it.
You want our reasons for abstaining?
Yes.
That junction, basically.
Yeah, I'm safety.
I think.
But that technical piece.
That's the good
piece. Yeah.
Thank you.
Considering the details of the access here, it's unknown at this point whether or not all of the land between the carriageway and the Red Edge is under the control of the Highway Authority. If all of that, because that's not what has been considered by officers, if all of that land between the carriageway and the Red Edge is within the highway boundary, then an access could theoretically be achieved anywhere along that Red Edge, but members have obviously raised concerns about whether if the access was moved to the east, there would be a lot of trees potentially. So what needs to be considered now is, can access be achieved theoretically to this site on land that is under the control of the applicant or the Highway Authority, the public highway? Fundamentally, if that access cannot be achieved, if there's no way that access can be achieved, then and only then can access come into location. But it must be an absolute fundamental access cannot be achieved to this site.
And we can't really prove that one way or the other tonight.
Officers don't believe so.
Okay. Could we deter it?
In terms of the ownership.
In terms of the ownership and the viability of the visibility displays.
I don't think it's visibility displays, no, they don't need to be demonstrated. Yes,
Chair.
I think so.
Chair.
Sorry, Scott.
When you look at Google Maps at the road junction where this is proposed, there is a electricity telegraph pole, there is a speed sensor, there is a lamppost, and there is the Milford sign kind of chase, and there's also a BT telegraph pole, all in that verge. Now, the red edge boundary is going smack through the middle of all of that infrastructure. I cannot see how the applicant, therefore, can use that as an access in its current state without speaking to the electricity company, BT. Speed sensors have to be moved, Highways Authority have to do that, the actual sign coming into Milford itself would have to be relocated. It's not feasible.
But again, I think those are technical issues.
But not because it's site usage, isn't it? And currently, that's the part of that Red Edge boundary, the site usage of that is all the utility companies, plus the speed cameras, where the sign and the Milford sign and all of that. It is already being used by those people. So how can that access be granted or even included in this presentation?
I think it's common practice to use the highway land as visibility space, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
For visibility display, yes. But in that Red Edge display, there are at least three different users of that display. There's the electricity company, there is the BT just at the edge of it, and Highways have got infrastructure in there. So it's site usage for the display, not the field itself. That's the issue, I feel.
Well, for a 30 mile per hour stretch of road, the visibility display in both directions has got to be 43 metres, 2.5 metres back from highway. The carriageway, 43 metres one way and then the other.
I don't think the display is the visibility display is the issue. The fact is where that entrance has been located is already been occupied by three other users.
It's not uncommon for an extension of a driveway to an existing dwelling to require movement of lampposts or other street furniture.
Right.
There are separate means to go about that if it needs to be done.
Okay.
They are, I believe, normally done so at the applicant's cost, their expense, sorry. So, again, it's a question of whether the presence of some of street furniture would fundamentally mean that you couldn't access this site from the public highway.
I see.
Boy James?
You can see that the majority of us are not happy with this. Here is a suggestion, I don't know whether it will work. Defer it and ask the applicant to redraw that red line of the access, because as my learning colleague across the floor there has said, people already occupy that area. There is a genuine concern about the most of us about what that junction is, what that access is going to do to that junction. I know we haven't got the technical specs yet, but defer it so they can redraw the red line.
Are utilities a consultee on this?
No.
Can we defer it?
Okay, so we have a reason to defer, and that would be to amend the red edge to, in terms of the access point or clear where it is. So defer so that we can be more clear of where the red edge is and the situation, the site of the access.
Okay. Is Councillor James proposing that?
Yeah, I'm proposing
that.
To redraw.
Seconded
by Scott. So that is to defer for those reasons. Or show, please. Okay. Thank you. Abstain, Peter. Or again. You're going with it, or abstain.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so that's a deferred. Okay, we now move on to the second application.
Kevin,
yes?
Is there a chance of us doing anything about the air conditioning? Or turning it on?
Apparently, members of the public can't hear us if the air comes on. Can you hear us most of the time?
When that's running, Mr. Chairman. When that's running,
yeah. Okay, right.
Can you just come back?
Okay, we're on page 20 now.
Yes.
Peter Edgler, you can rejoin us. Okay, we'll try and get some more air through by opening up these doors over here. Do you want to make a start on this one? This is application number 25/41476. Another PIP over Woods Eaves, called in by Councillor Mark Winnington and Councillor Scott Spencer. who's taking this one?
I am as well. Okay. Thank you, Chair. This is planning application 2541476 PIP, land west of Old House Farm, Lodge Lane, Woods Eaves. Under this application, permission in principle is sought for up to two dwellings. I've got an update for the committee. The recommendation has changed. The recommendation is now to defer for officers to carry out a habitat regulations assessment. The reason being, you can't grant permission in principle under certain situations. So if it's more than 10 homes, for example, or greater than a hectare, you can't do it under a PIP. And you can't do it as well if it's what's called habitats development. So this site is within 5 kilometres of Cotmere and within 5 kilometres of Aqua Lake. They are designated habitat sites. A habitat regulations assessment has been undertaken, so officers don't know if it's habitat development or not. Yes, we don't know if there are significant effects, so it is habitat development.
Which page are we on?
So because...
I've got 20. The habitat's one.
I'm sorry. Oh, 31.
Page 31.
Yeah. Page 31, paragraph 6.47. The officer's report outlines that the site is within 5 kilometres of Cotmere and within 5 kilometres of Aqua Lake Mere. So, for the consideration of the application, and then, yeah, paragraph 6.50, the end of the paragraph, the officer's report says that the habitat regulations assessment would be undertaken at the technical details consent stage, but that can't happen. Cannot grant a PIP without first knowing if it's habitat development. So for that reason, it's being deferred so the officers can undertake a habitat regulations assessment first.
Proposer accept that officer's recommendation, Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Anyone want to second that? To
yeah,
first?
Second it.
Yeah, on this occasion.
Thank you. I don't know who's first, whether it was D or Peter, but we'll go down to you, D. Okay, so that one is deferred for those reasons.
Can we vote on
it? Yes, we need to vote on it. It's, we've got enough there, haven't we? Peter, are you voting on this one?
I don't think
so, apologies if you are going to speak on this one, but it has been voted on to defer to another day. So, apologies for that. Now move on to, Okay. Thank you. Page 45, Alton House, Turner's Lane, Alton, called in by Councillor Roy James. Ed?
This application is for a two-storey and single-storey extensions to the dwelling house, Alton House, a triple garage extension and a detached outbuilding for purposes ancillary to the dwelling house. The application site is in the open countryside, just within the North Staffordshire Greenbelt, and the dwelling is considered to comprise a non-designated heritage asset. The proposed development is not considered by officers to constitute inappropriate development within the Greenbelt, and therefore the development is considered to be acceptable in principle. Furthermore, whilst it's accepted there would be some less than substantial harm to the significance of the non-designated heritage asset, officers consider that the elements of the scheme, as initially submitted and which were harmful, have been amended and that the scheme is now considered to be acceptable. Furthermore, the level of harm is not considered to justify the refusal of the application. On to the presentation. The plan view shows the location of the application site off Turner's Lane on the outskirts of Alton to the north of Stone. The aerial view shows the nature of the site being well screened and wider views. The photo plan shows the location of the following 8 photographs taken from around the application site. 1 is the front elevation of the dwelling. 2 shows the conservatory to be demolished. 3 shows the existing detached garage to be demolished. 4 is a view of the existing storage buildings to the side of the dwelling. 5 shows the dwelling from beyond the garage. The dwelling is visible beyond the single storey conservatory and the 2-storey storage buildings to the right hand side. 6 shows the rear elevation. 7 the side elevation. And 8 the side and rear. The first plan is the proposed site plan. The second, the proposed ground floor plan. You may note some dashed lines on there which represent the sectional drawings on a later plan. Plan 3 is the first floor. Plan 4, proposed elevations. Plan 5, sectional elevations as defined by the dashed lines on the earlier plan. Plan 6 shows a comparison between the initial proposal above and the revised scheme that you're voting on today. And Plan 7 similarly shows a comparison between the initial proposal above and the revised scheme below. This is the side elevation, and the previous was the other side elevation. The recommendation is that the application be approved subject to conditions as per the officer's report set out in your agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't think we have anyone to speak on this one. Councillor Roy James, would you like to speak on this?
I just want to... the issue I just have is that the 2D representations here, we don't have 3D imaging. And I think that the site visit will be in order so that people can see what it's going to look like on the ground, as opposed to looking at it as a 2D representation.
Okay, right. I've just got Lee in my ear there. Are you speaking as a ward member or member of the committee at this point?
Committee.
Okay. But not predetermined. No. That's just an observation that you've made. Anyone want to pick up on anything that anyone said? Andy, you were just ahead of Scott.
No, I was just thinking, I mean, they've made a few changes. It's shielded by all those trees. It's quite a long way from the road and everything, so I don't really see a reason to object to it.
Scott Spencer?
I've just seen condition 3, which is about design, description, detail, specifications, etc. It says local planning authority. Presumably that's going to go through the conservation officer as well, is it? Your data doesn't specifically say that.
If we received an application to discharge that condition, yes, conservation officer would be consulted.
So even though it doesn't state in that condition, that is
standard practice.
Standard practice.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, and a follow-up on that. Was it the officer's consideration that the building materials used would match or closely resemble what is currently existing? I'm just going to refer to other matters. It doesn't seem to. Is there a requirement of you thinking that should be the case?
Yeah, so one of the considerations of discharging that condition, should it be approved, would be, are the final materials proposed acceptable in the context of the post dwelling?
Right.
One of those you'd often most weight is, are those materials the same in terms of size, colour, texture, or are they complementary to So
yeah.
if you'd say no to either of those, the materials may well not be acceptable.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Anyone?
Can I just ask, because only someone lives there. It's a residence, isn't it?
It's a dwelling.
Sorry.
Lawful use is a dwelling house.
With the information before you, that does anyone feel that a site visit would help them at all?
I think it seems fine.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'd just like to propose we accept the officer's recommendation and pass it.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Second it. So proposed to accept the report as written.
Okay.
Yeah, so Andy and then Anne.
So
all those in. Do you want to speak?
I wanted to have another quick one. In the sort of ecology and biodiversity officer, basically external lighting and so forth, bird nests should be taken outside of bird nests and seen them. Is there anything, because normally we have a condition in here where we sort of say with loss of old buildings, which is going to be some here, there's potential habitat loss that we put in normally, some sort of bird boxes or something within the plan, within the scheme? Or is that acceptable in this case as well?
If members were minded to suggest that was necessary to make this acceptable.
And back boxes, because I think the nature of the buildings that appear to be being demolished, certainly the garage is quite dilapidated and potentially could be an area that things like bats and crowfoot could live. So I wonder if we were minded to approve this, we could add an eighth condition, which would be to add some bird boxes and bat boxes as part of the application. The application.
So, through you, Chair, that you're proposing an amendment to the conditions. So,
yes.
If you're proposing that someone would need to second that, and we'd have to have a vote on that before we go
okay.
to the vote on the approval.
I am proposing that, yes.
So I'll second that, Chair.
Okay. Do you have just repeat that again, what you're proposing?
Propose that a number of bird boxes and bat boxes are included within the new development due to the loss of sort of dilapidated buildings within the area.
Okay. Are you okay with that wording?
We would need specifics. We couldn't condition the provision of some.
Okay. I think a bat box and probably two. A single sort of bird box, maybe two swift or swallow boxes containers.
So that on page 56, the Ecology and Biodiversity Officer report, you'd like that bird boxes and bat boxes to be added in somewhere.
I think a property like this, I think it was.
Someone has to take a vote on approval of including that condition. Do you want to read out the wording for that? Have a go.
It would be along the lines of
the provision
within X months of first occupation of the proposed extensions. A single bird box, single bat box, and two swift drinks boxes would be installed in the tank for the life of the
developer. Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Single bat box.
Yes,
we're happy with that.
It'd be along the lines of within X months of first operation, one bird box, one bat box, two. Swift bricks would be installed within the existing or proposed buildings or within the
proposed, site, not the existing, the proposed.
Within the proposed buildings extensions and shall thereafter be retained.
Okay, that's proposed by Scott. Jill, you were seconding that. So, understand.
Can I just ask how many are you talking about? Sorry.
One bat box, one bird, two swift. Or do you think more?
I think more. I think you can double that.
for that size.
Another map box. Site, yeah.
Another
map
box. Two map boxes.
Yeah, two bats, four birds, and it's a big site.
I suppose we've got to be reasonable that. Sorry for you, Jeff. That there's obviously an existing building that's already provided. We're just trying to allocate what's been lost to what's been. Do you want to over egg it? Maybe an additional bat box, maybe, because I think that's probably more likely a species that would take.
Well, the biodiversity officer has suggested that there's no unlikely that any significant ecological constraints are present, which would suggest there are no bats.
Mm-hmm.
So, whether it made a suitable area for them.
Has a bat survey been conducted? I don't believe that has been.
I don't believe so.
No.
It's got to be bats.
Okay, for you, Chair, can we up it to two bat boxes as opposed to one?
Yeah, two bat boxes, how about the swifts?
Yeah.
Two swifts?
And then maintain the others.
Two bats, one bird, two swifts. Take the vote, please. Okay. You know who's proposed second? All those in favour?
Yeah.
This is for voting for that condition.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Right. Who wants to propose? Make a proposal.
Andy proposed it.
Peter, Edgar, did you vote on that one?
Sorry?
Did you vote on that
condition?
About two swifts, one.
Oh, I didn't know. Sorry.
Sure, you're talking to me.
Can we take the vote?
Okay,
two,
right.
Two,
this is that added
one,
condition
one
there.
Two
bats, two swifts, one bird. That's what we're voting on. Are you happy with that condition?
Yes.
Yes.
We know that swifts are the most wandered.
We need to.
Hands
are you voting for
just say
it?
Yes.
Okay. Now to the application itself with that condition. Who wants to make a proposal?
We've got the proposal. We've got a seconder.
Yeah.
We just had to take the vote for the extra condition first. So, Councillor Andy McNaughton moved it. Councillor Anne Hobbs seconded it for approval
right.
With that condition. Are you happy to include that condition?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Please show them.
Boxes. Boxes.
No horse boxes. Okay.
You're voting for approval of
the scheme. No.
You're not approving.
Okay. You're not voting on this one.
No,
please.
No, horse box.
No. Okay. Right. So, how many people are voting for this?
Three and top. This is for the application.
This is for
the
application.
Yeah.
Go on.
Can you count them up?
Abstaining.
Everyone's voting for it apart from Roy James, who's abstaining.
Just got a lot of keeping me out for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Everyone bar Roy. Okay. Next one is page 60, 25/40929, annex at 33 North Castle Street, Castle Town.
Chair, is there any chance because the public gallery is now empty that we can have the air conditioning on?
I'll second that.
That's just one thing we've all agreed on.
This is mild.
Absolutely mild. Compared to what?
We should be in
some
new diet. This is nothing.
I'm
going to
say
I've got a coronary
care unit. You want to
be all right?
Coronary care unit.
Page 60. Who's taking this one? Okay. Dead hand.
This application seeks retrospective permission for the change of use of a residential annex to 33 North Castle Street to a separate dwelling with the formation of an additional residential unit, constituting a material change of use under planning legislation. The application is referred to the planning committee as the applicant is a member of the council. The plan and aerial view on the presentation show the location of the application site off North Castle Street in Stafford. Doxy Road is visible to the north, and Doxy Road Longstay car park is just off the screen to the east. The photo plan shows the location of the following 9 photographs taken from around the application site. 1 shows the side northeast elevation of the annex. The window is just visible behind the lush server kitchen. 2 shows the front elevation of the annex on the right and the side elevation of number 33 on the left. 3 shows the parcel of land to the northeast of the application site on which there are a number of vehicles parked. According to records available to officers, this land falls under the ownership of Stafford Borough Council. 4 is a view of the opposite side of North Castle Street. 5 shows the annex in its entirety, with the side elevation of number 33 visible on the left-hand side. 6 is a view of the side elevation of the annex from within the Borough Council-owned land. 7 shows the side elevation of the rear element of the annex beyond the fence. 8 again shows the side elevation of the annex beyond the fence. And 9 shows the side elevation of 27 Doxy Road taken from the Borough Council owned land. Plan 1 is the location plan for the application site edged in red, other land owned by the applicant, e.g. the host dwelling, number 33, edged in blue. Plan 2 is the site plan. This shows the land ownership and proposed arrangement of private amenity space. The green hatched area indicates the retention of a shared access. Plan 3 shows the floor plans for the existing and for which retrospective permission is sought, and the elevations on the left-hand side. I have a single update for committee. The officer's report as set out in the agenda recommends 2 reasons for refusal. However, the officer's recommendation to committee is that reason 1 be omitted. Reason 1 relates to character and appearance, as pulled through from an early draft version of the report, and was intended to be removed from the recommendation by the lead officer. So the recommendation on that basis is that the application be refused solely on the basis of the second reason for refusal, which relates to highway safety. Thank you.
Thank you. This is from Councillor Tony Pearce.
So a statement on behalf of the applicant, Councillor Pearce. The building which is the subject of this application is not a newly constructed dwelling. The annex has existed for approximately 20 years and has a long history of residential occupation. The applicant has occupied the annex as his main home continuously since 2020. In that year, works were undertaken which incorporated the former garage and the 2 bedrooms above into accommodation. These works included the installation of the staircase within the former garage and are documented through the council's building control records. The current residential arrangement has existed for approximately 6 years. The application before members does not involve the construction of a new dwelling or the introduction of new residential use into the area, but seeks to regularise an established arrangement. The applicant would firstly ask members to consider the concerns raised regarding the character and appearance of the area. The officer's own assessment concludes that the subdivision of the garden would not have a detrimental visual impact upon the character and appearance of the locality. Given that the building already exists and has been occupied in its current residential arrangement since 2020, I respectfully question whether the proposal would result in sufficient harm to the character and appearance of the area to justify refusal. I point out that's the reason that officers have recommended is omitted. Turning to parking, we acknowledge the concerns raised by the Highway Authority. However, we ask members to consider the actual circumstances of the site. The former garage has never been practically capable of accommodating a modern vehicle. At approximately 2.5 metres wide, it is too narrow for modern cars to fit within its walls. There is an off-street parking space in front of the annex, together with access to residents' parking scheme and informal parking adjacent to the annex. We understand that prior to the changes to planning enforcement legislation, which came into effect in April 2024, the relevant enforcement period for an unauthorised material change of use to a single dwelling house was 4 years. The current residential arrangement commenced in 2020, prior to those legislative changes, and has continued for approximately 6 years. Whilst I appreciate that the question of lawfulness is not the matter directly before members this evening, I believe this history is important context in considering the long-standing nature of the existing residential use and the actual planning impact arising from the application. For these reasons, the applicant respectfully asks members to support the application.
Good.
Good. On this drawing, what is the? Is it the garage and the part to the right, which is the annex? Top left picture. Say, no, top left. The picture itself.
This one. So this was the original dwelling on the left-hand side, and then these two elements is the annex. On this one, it's this main bulk is the main dwelling, and then this slightly lower portion of the single story is the annex. Here, the annex is on the left. That's your main face dwelling, and here this element is all the annex, and this is the party wall to the neighbouring dwelling.
So just give us the chronological in order. When was the build over the garage made?
The annex including the garage was 2004, and the applicant states that it has been occupied as a separate dwelling from the host dwelling since 2020.
And did that include? Sorry, Scott. Did that include the single storey aspect to the right of the garage as well?
The annex is built was appears to be in accordance with the 2004 permission. Yes, both the garage element and the single storey.
Scott.
So, a point of clarification on, maybe further. Section 6.0, I think it all kind of is down to the highways and access, isn't it? Where the annex is said to be two bedrooms, but then it also says it could be three bedrooms. So if it's two bedrooms, it only needs one space, but if it's three bedrooms, it needs two spaces. So what are we actually looking at this building as, a three-bedroom property or a two-bedroom property?
So the proposal in front of you is labelled as a two-bedroom dwelling.
So it's two bedroom, it only needs one space, and the place next, the number 33 next door is also two bedrooms, which has to have one space, correct? So the proposed annex, looking at Google Maps, I presume has one space allocated to it already, is that right, or is that allocated to 33?
I understand that parking in this area on the public highways part of the permit scheme.
So you've got a permit to park on it, does 33 have a permit?
I don't know.
Because here it looks like there is definitely one space available for the annex. And if the annex is two bedroom, it only needs to have one space. Correct?
So there is comment from the Highway Authority. On page 69, the Highway Authority comments state that the site doesn't have any existing vehicle or cycle parking spaces.
But I'm sorry, I'm looking at a car parked on a space outside the annex.
So,
outside that white door. If you look on Google, there's a car parked there.
So in the highway comments, looking at historic Google images, it appears that the vehicle has parked within the property boundary parallel to the road.
Yeah.
This type of parking they don't consider to be acceptable. It's difficult to maneuver on and off.
Can I just, sorry, just follow up on that? If you look at the road, it's shown that you cannot park. The permit finishes there and starts again after it's at 33, which presumably is therefore allowing access to that property.
I believe that's for access into the garage.
Okay.
Which would be perpendicular to the highway, so you don't need manoeuvring space.
Yep. So if you just go back to the previous photo, the one before that, it actually extends to the property boundary, isn't it? To the back of that quarter. Okay. Sorry, after again. It just to me it looks like there's already a space there. The car park space. I don't know how Howie's have come to the conclusion that there isn't.
And the garage. Sorry, Andy.
What's the consequence of approving the officer's report? Does it mean they're going to have to knock something down?
No, the application is for the use, subdividing a dwelling and an annex into two separate dwellings is a material change of use to form two residential units.
So that's basically it's just a change of use.
Yes.
That's
So that's how it's been used at the moment. So in other words, somebody would have to move out and it would just become one big house, is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Scott? I think is the concern of officers that if we approve this, if it's three bedrooms, it sort of contravenes policy C4, but if we deem that it's two bedrooms and already has a space, it's actually within policy. If we believe there's a space there.
So the officer's concern is that there would be insufficient parking provision off street, and that would intensify demand for on-street parking as part of the parking permit scheme and increase the risk of highway danger to all users.
Roy, did you ask me?
I was only going to say, page 71, with a halfway down, given the above observation, it appears neither property has a legal parking space available. The recommendation from the planning officer is to refuse.
I was going to say, if it's dangerous, it's been dangerous, what was it, say, for the last 20 years, would there have been many accidents there? And on another point, he could have parked his car somewhere else. He might have to pay for it. So there is a parking space there. Just because you have to park your car somewhere else.
If you've got a permit, you're entitled to park around there, aren't you?
I feel there's a bit of a contradiction. If you look at page 71, paragraph 2, it says car parks are up to two bedrooms require one car space, three or more bedrooms require two car parking spaces. But earlier in the report it states that the properties have two bedrooms each. So therefore only two car parking spaces are required. Yeah? Not three that paragraph states.
So that paragraph is just referring to the requirements of local parking standards that up to two bedrooms requires one, three or more bedrooms requires up to three requires two parking spaces.
But then it goes on to say, therefore, if this applicant were to be approved, three car park spaces would be required. But if the two bedroom properties, only one space is required per property.
Was it about whether that study upstairs could be a bedroom?
Yes.
Councillor Andy McNaughton.
I was going to say, so if they change the change of use to one big building, well then somebody just came to stay as either a lodger or a relative, staying a long while, there'd be exactly the same number of people living there, but we won't be worried about extra parking space. Is that what we're saying?
Yes. In effect, yes. So if it was a host dwelling with an annex, parking requirements would be calculated on the basis of the entire number of bedrooms. If it's two separate dwellings, you'd need to consider how many bedrooms in each dwelling and apply the standards to each dwelling.
I just wonder, arguing that you wouldn't be able to put it in it, just depending how you classify who's living there, how many parking spaces you need.
Brian Cross?
Yeah, I mean, it does say with the report that there could be three bedrooms in each dwelling if they utilise it to that effect. So, you know, there's two at the moment, but it could be three according to what's written in this report. And if there's three in each, that's six bedrooms, which would require the three spaces. That's the way I'm reading the report. And it also surprised me that it's a retrospective application by a borough councillor.
Yeah, I don't think we can bring that into really. Andy McNaught,
no,
sorry.
I've said my piece.
Okay, Scott.
In the report, it states each house is two bedrooms, and with policy, that means it has to have one space each. There's a fundamental error in this report because then it goes on to say that there are three car parking spaces required because one is a three-bedroom property. It's been assessed incorrectly. That it needs to go. It needs to be looked at again. And on that basis, I would like to defer this so the Highways Authority can confirm and the officers the number of bedrooms in each property. Just because I could say my lounge could be a bedroom doesn't necessarily mean that every single room could be a bedroom. It could be five bedroomed house with a lounge and a study. What it says in this report, they are both two bedroomed houses.
Yeah.
It needs to be deferred and re-looked at.
Local standards require a single dwelling for a single parking space for one, and shared up that two spaces to a shared apartment.
The other plan is two or three members.
The plan is shared. Show study in one and a separate dressing room in the other. The report says that one is two bedrooms and has the potential to be three, and the other one is one bedroom and has the potential to be two.
So if it has the potential, what do you
think? One bedroom should have one single on the plans.
That's like two.
It's two bedroom and a one bedroom.
So who was that?
It shows two with a study and then there's one with a dressing room.
Sorry, Andy.
I was earlier you mentioned is that waste ground or that ground you say is owned by staff and Borough Council? It's got cars parked. But not got council.
That land shown there to the east of the application site is Borough Council owned land.
But people are parking there, aren't they?
Yeah, according to the photographs, people park there. So I don't know the legality over anyone.
Can't they just park his car there?
I don't know the legality of anyone parking on that land. It's Borough Council owned land.
Can I propose to defer, please?
I'll second that, Ed, do you want to come back on that?
Yeah, so to clarify the bedrooms and the parking requirements. So the report states at 6.1, on the basis of the drawings, 33 North Castle Street has one bedroom and a dressing room at first floor. So according to the application submission, that's a one bedroom dwelling. The annex would have two bedrooms and a study. So according to the application submission, that's a two bedroom dwelling. So considering what's in front of you, you have a single dwelling with two bedrooms and a single dwelling with one bedroom.
Yes.
Which would require two parking spaces.
Yes.
So we can only go on what's in front of us. Do you still want to move to defer?
I'd move to say that the application only needs, it says it needs three, but the problem is the application says it needs three spaces, but we can see that it only needs two, so I have an issue.
But it's only, sorry, two bed and...
Two bed and one bed.
So we have to take it
on
what?
We have to take it on. Yes, but we also have to take what Howie's authority said.
If we decide that one property is two bedrooms and one is one bedroom,
yeah,
then two parking spaces are required, and that's what's before us.
Then we can decide so we can go against Highways in that regard, because they've said it's three bed. They said they need three spaces because they've assessed it incorrectly.
Based on the calculations of bedrooms, parking spaces, the information before us would suggest we only need two parking spaces.
Okay.
Can I just clarify? So, local parking standards, this is forms of dwellings other than detached and semi-detached, so this would form a terrace. Up to two bedrooms, one space per dwelling, plus one space per four dwellings for visitors. Spaces should be provided within curtilage of the dwelling if possible, otherwise communally within curtilage of the development, and wherever possible within sight of the dwelling and or within 45 metres. So these dwellings would require one parking space per dwelling.
Then I move to accept this application.
I second that.
Yep. So because we believe it's only two parking spaces required.
One space required for the structure.
Okay, so proposed and seconded that we approve.
So
the on the basis of the information before us in the terms of the floor plans, it is understood that one property has got two bedrooms, one has got one bedroom. On the basis of that, two parking spaces are required.
0.6.363.
Are you happy with that proposal?
Three parking spaces will be required in total to accommodate numbers 33 and 34.
That would appear to be a misinterpretation when you look at the floor plans. The floor plans show a total of three bedrooms. And that's what we're doing. So if you look at the elevations and floor plans, you can see what each room is allocated to be.
So just to be clear, we're deferring it for what reason?
No, we're not deferring it. We're approving it.
But we did have a proposal to refuse Asperger's recommendation.
Through you, Chair. Councillor Spence has withdrawn that now. That proposal is moved now to approve.
The recommendation is to refuse.
Yes.
I propose refuse.
We just had a vote to approve.
You mean to refuse it on officer's recommendation, don't you? You don't mean to approve it. You mean to go.
No, I mean to approve to approve it.
So if you go against the officer's report and you decide you want to approve it,
because of what we've just been through with the plans, we've got to go with what's before us, and one is two bedroom and one is one bedroom.
Two back boxes.
The recommendation is to refuse.
Change that because they've reassessed the situation. It only needs two car parking spaces. So now it's going to be accepted.
You've got that one up there. So we see on those plans and elevations the number of bedrooms is total 3, so we need 2 spaces, and we're basing our decision to go against the officer recommendation to approve based on what we're seeing on the plans.
Yes. On what is presented, yes.
Approved.
So the
through you, Joe, though, on page 66, 6.3, it says the HA have assessed and it goes through what it could be. I think that is a valid point in 6.3 and page 66.
Chair, yeah. 6.1, the first bullet point, has the potential, any room has the potential to be a bedroom, but the plans submitted have 2 bedrooms in one house and 1 bedroom in the other house.
That's
you
what
cannot
we
go, with. And we've always been told this, on what may happen or change in the future. You have to go off what is presented.
Do you want to say anything, Brian? Right. So we understand that we're going to go against the recommendation because what we're seeing on the plans is 3 bedrooms total, 2 spaces. Proposed and seconded. All those in favour of approving. All those against? 1, 2, 3. Abstaining? So that's been approved by 5-3. Confirm the decision.
Members, if you're granting permission there, often permissions are subject to conditions. Officers would recommend that this is subject to a plans condition to define the permission. But I don't believe there's any need to recommend any further conditions.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you very much. Okay. Last one on the agenda is on page 76, 26-42031, Wilkinson Wall Street demolition. Who's taking this one? The head.
This application is referred to the planning committee as Stafford Borough Council is the applicant. It seeks the prior approval of the local planning authority for the demolition of the former Wilkinson's unit, the shop mobility unit, within the site between Chell Road and Broad Street in Stafford. The site would be left tidy and clear of voids or holes. Prior approval must be granted where a proposal complies with the qualifying criteria as set out in the General Committee Development Order, and where it is acceptable with regard to the conditions of the relevant plans. The General Committee Development Order sets out that the local planning authority may consider the proposal with regard to the method of demolition and the restoration of the site. No objection is raised by technical consultees with regard to the method of demolition, and officers consider the restoration of the site a temporary approach prior to future redevelopment to be acceptable. On to the presentation. The plan and aerial view show the location of the application site edged in red. It's between Chell Road to the northwest and Broad Street to the southeast. On the aerial view, Sainsbury's is visible to the north, Stafford College to the south, and the former multi-storey car park and Guildhall shopping centre now demolished to the southeast. The entire application site would be closed to the public. The photo plan shows the location of the following 4 photographs taken from around the site. First, shows the shop mobility unit with Wilkinson's in the background from Broad Street. The second shows Wilkinson's from Bulk Passage. The third shows Wilkinson's from Chell Road with Trinity Church in the background. And the fourth shows Wilkinson's from the southwest corner of the car park on the site. The plan on the screen shows the application site with buildings to be demolished shaded. The entire red edge is referred to as the enclosed area in the submitted methodology. To answer queries raised briefly this week, the site would be enclosed with timber hoarding, similar to the demolition site at the Guildhall Shopping Centre. And again, to clarify, officers received a query that wasn't a written representation on this application regarding the availability of electric vehicle charging. The availability of this is a decision for the landowner rather than for the local planning authority. It's not considered to be a material consideration as it doesn't relate to the method of demolition or the restoration of the site. The recommendation is that prior approval be granted, subject to conditions as per the officer's report on your agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone want to pick up on this one?
Yeah. I have to visit this site today, and someone's preempted the decision of this committee because it's already fenced off. The charging points are part of what the area is fenced off, and the fence goes direct across the two buildings, so you can't get into the area that's backing onto Bulk Passage. You could only use part of the Broadside Street parking area. I just thought it was a bit presumptuous of whoever it was deciding what the decision was going to be by this committee. Also, the application says demolition of the structure known as Form Wilkinson Shop Mobility. Shop Mobility is a separate structure to the toilets. The toilets aren't mentioned, but in the plan, the hatched area is there for demolishing. So, are we not going to have any public toilets in Stafford when this is knocked down?
Public toilets
aren't public
toilets, no.
They aren't being demolished until there's an alternative in place.
I use them like I've got to use them one year to when the building
yeah.
We
close.
We discussed in the briefing about the hoarding around the site, sort of like a robust sort of timber type scenario. Is that going to be conditioned if we were to approve this?
So the method of demolition includes reference to the proposed hoarding, and the detail included in that is a similar approach to the Guildhall site, which is robust timber hoarding with visibility panes in it as well.
Jill Hood?
Yeah, I see that the officer is sitting at the table, and I'm just wondering if this is similar to an application that's been put forward when we have someone actually speak on the application, because I think it would be a shame to lose the value that she can actually have to this discussion.
Michelle, just for clarification on
yes.
these points,
yes.
is the council happy to do these conditions about boarding and hoardings?
Yep. So if I just make comment on the basis of being part of the applicant, so Councillor Cross, from your queries, I know what it looks like because the Harris fencing went up before committee, but the Harris fencing isn't what will be in place when demolition work starts. It's purely because there are works prior to the grant of any permission that can be done. So it's called the soft strip, but basically getting the stuff out of the building in preparation for demolition. So I know it looks presumptuous, but there isn't any presumption that there will be a decision of either direction tonight. It's purely so that when they're pulling up the window frames or whatever it is they're doing, there's nothing falling onto the car park. So that's why that Harris fencing is there. In terms of the toilets, so the application site is the Wilkinson's building, the Shop Mobility building, and the toilets. The reason that the application is for all three is because prior to concluding some outline plans for what we would like to see in terms of redevelopment in the town centre, that site as a whole would be parcelled up, and then we would look to find someone who would be interested in developing that. And if you leave bits of buildings on a site, it can then make it difficult to get interest in that site. So that's why we need the permission.
But since we first bought the site, you'll know by now that the college have shown an interest, and therefore we've got some flexibility on this. So were we to get permission this evening, the intention is not to pull the toilets down until we absolutely have to. So they will remain in use and accessible until as long as possible. Was there any more?
Just the timber hoarding.
Yep. Whatever the local planning authority tells us to do, we will make sure it happens.
We'll have a word. Anyone want to recommend something?
Do you need to put the hoardings around all the parking?
You can put the hoardings a bit closer to the building, so you're losing a lot of parking space.
So that's literally a piece of work that's going on this week. So the construction contractor, demolition contractors have been on site this week, and we would like to keep around half of the spaces open. All we've got to do is make sure that that's done in a way that's safe for everyone parking one side and for the workers the other side. But that's currently going through a risk assessment process. So as soon as we know what that position is, the better.
Anyone else on this one?
Refuse. No, I think I'd go with it. What this lady colleague has said is that toilets will remain, and so will half the parking spaces. And if they make absolutely sure there's not going to be any problems with the demolition onto the other areas, then I can't see any reason why we shouldn't approve it.
I'll second that. Proposed by Roy, seconded by Brian. To approve? Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone.
Is the check in
first?
All right, got some appeals on page 85. Do you want to comment on any of them?
Yeah, on the decided appeals, Wharf Road, Nosal. I've been through the appeal reasons, and I'm just wondering why the flood risk wasn't highlighted as a reason in the appeal. And that it's something I have raised. I did send an email previously. I haven't had a response about it, because I noticed one of the reasons we refused it was the flood risk. I was wondering why that wasn't picked up in the appeal.
Clarify, I don't think flood risk was a reason for refusal.
Was it not?
So the outline consent was, I believe, all matters reserved except for access.
Yes.
So layout was included within the reserved matters.
Right.
So surface water drainage would have fed into the reserved matters.
Okay.
So we couldn't refuse it on flood risk because
it hadn't gone to
reserve matters, and it was in flood zone 1, and there was likelihood that they could address technical details.
It's a surface water, it was a higher flood zone. Okay, thank you.
Any more? Over the page on 86. Okay. All done? Thank you very much. Thank you.